Welcome to Thinking Out Loud, the podcast that puts you inside conversations with the most deeply passionate, intensely dedicated, and yes, the most thoughtful people in our industry. So sit back and stay tuned. They may just change the way you think.
Hello, I'm Vicki Lins, President and CEO of CTAM, a marketing organization focused on the media, entertainment, and technology industry. Today, I'm speaking with Tom Ryan, CEO and co-founder of Pluto TV. Tom, welcome. Thanks so much for sitting down with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So as co-founder of Pluto TV, you have some really interesting insights about the inception and early days. Why don't you share some of that with us so our listeners have some context for your comments today?
Sure. So we launched Pluto TV over 6 years ago. It was April of 2014. And when we launched it, you know, we had some contrarian, or at least seemingly contrarian, insights about the market. We found that there was a lot of great video on the internet, but it was tough to find the good stuff. And so we really sought to solve this paradox of choice of how people could be entertained. And at the time, everything appeared to be moving to on-demand viewing, as well as subscriptions. And people even said that advertising was going away because people would be trained by subscription video on demand services to no longer watch advertising. And we said, wait a second, there's so many great things that television has done over the decades, from giving you a great aggregated place to go with well curated channels that let you just dive into content without having to do the work of hunting and pecking your way around a menu of on demand choices. And it also has been largely funded, or at least significantly funded, by advertising. Much of the great content that's come to us over the years has been significantly funded by advertising. And in many cases, television, you know, originally was also free. So while the world appears to be moving to on-demand subscription and advertising free, on one hand, we thought there was a big opportunity to actually bring curated linear programming in a free and ad-supported method to consumers. And then we set out to build Pluto TV with those seemingly contrarian insights in mind.
Well, those contrarian insights proved to be quite prophetic given the way the landscape looks today.
Yeah, we're now the leading free streaming television service in America. We've got over 24 million monthly active users domestically, and we're scaling globally. We're now in Europe and in Latin America in over 22 countries, and we're growing very rapidly in those markets as well. So I think taking the best of what traditional TV had to offer, not forgetting that people are in many ways creatures of habit and changing consumer behavior completely is difficult, but also modernizing what had made television great over the years and delivering it in a streaming product that could be accessible through any device really worked out. And I think we're really just getting started. The business is growing by leaps and bounds, and we're really excited with the progress.
So there's two different paths that come to mind when you talk about progress. One is just the overall progress and where things are headed. And the other is, of course, the impact of COVID. And I know that Pluto TV, along with many other services, have seen a surge in viewing and some really interesting viewing behavior. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're seeing from your part of the ecosystem?
Sure. So we had already been growing very rapidly prior to the pandemic, and that's because free television in the streaming category is a very big growth category, and we're the leader in that category. But COVID did serve as an accelerant to the business as well. And that's because people are cooped up at home and budget conscious. They gravitate towards a free streaming television product even more so than they were prior to the quarantine. And so people are using Pluto TV to be in touch with the news. We've got a very robust news offering so that they can stay informed. And at the same time, they're using Pluto TV to escape the news and escape some of the depressing statistics and other things that are coming out, which of course we all want to know what's going on, but we also want to escape what's going on through entertainment. And so people are watching lots of TV shows and movies on Pluto. And so we saw news jump after the pandemic was announced by about 100% in terms terms of viewership. We saw overall growth in viewership on the platform increase by significant double-digit percentages, with a big focus on programming that allowed people to escape. So a lot of scripted programming in particular. We, you know, have over 250 channels, but some of the things that were particularly popular were our channel, which is a TV Land drama, has included programs such as Yellowstone and Digstown. We've also seen our movie channels, of which there are many, really spike in terms of their usage. We even had a One Day at a Time channel, which we brought back to television and saw a lot of people really leaning in and watching that significantly.
So you referenced some program names. You have more than 250 channels. That's a lot of content that crosses a large swath of the landscape. How do your viewers know, how do people know in general, what to expect from Pluto, what to look for on Pluto, why to go to Pluto?
Well, I think people come to Pluto because they know that no matter what they're interested in, Pluto's got something for them. We are a broad-based television service, so an aggregator of content from over 200 different media companies. We program that content into over 250 channels linearly, but then we also provide thousands of TV shows and movies on demand. We categorize the live channels as well as the on-demand content, and we merchandise and curate that content in a way that makes entertainment easier, right? Rather than that classic 20 to 30 minute, what is increasingly becoming known as the death scroll, where you are looking at an on-demand menu and trying to figure out, you know, what to watch, throwing the remote control back and forth with your partner and saying, you pick something, no, you pick something. Pluto leads with linear and largely lets you just sort of instantly fall into programming. So you basically pick a genre of programming and let us do the work for you. And of course, we allow you to watch content on demand too, but linear is one of the things that differentiates us. And curation is really something that's been part of the company's DNA from the start, with the whole intent of trying to get you into something that you can watch and enjoy as quickly as possible.
Well, and we know that consumers are overwhelmed right now with the menu of programming available to them. And we're seeing lots of shifts happen in the way people are building their own personal bundles of different services to try to access what they want. Pluto's sort of a top line complement to all of it, right? Why not? It's free. And I can get that too.
Yeah. I think that free streaming television is the largest single opportunity from an audience perspective in streaming today. And I'll tell you why. As people are creating their own bundles increasingly of television, right, through streaming apps rather than only getting it from one monolithic provider, they typically use one handful of apps regularly, and they customize that handful of apps themselves. It's not the same in any households, right? Each household is customizing based on their choices and preferences and taste in content. And so if you're using four or five apps regularly for streaming television, but per the data, most households are only willing to pay for two or three, Pluto TV allows you to expand your customized bundle of apps by hundreds of live channels and thousands of TV shows and movies, totaling over 100,000 hours, actually, of unique content, which makes us perhaps one of the biggest, if not the biggest, content offerings in streaming, particularly of premium content. And you can do all of that for free. And so I'm not going to stand here and say that we're going to be larger than Netflix in terms of revenue anytime soon, but I do think that there's no reason why every streaming household should not have Pluto TV as part of its bundle. And therefore, the audience potential for free streaming television and Pluto TV in particular, I think is immense.
And are you seeing an impact from the consumer shift away from advertising supported programming? Are people swinging back to be more amenable to advertising again because the cost of building their own bundles is becoming so great, and because they're looking for more content at better value?
Absolutely. People are looking to, they're creating their own bundles, as I mentioned, and they've got a limited budget to spend on those bundles. And as a result, free ad-supported streaming television provides not just great content, but great value which in this climate is valued even more so as people are budget conscious more than they have been in previous years. And so people are finding a great value exchange in free streaming television. And Pluto TV just keeps getting better and better by the month in terms of the quantity and the quality of the content that we offer. And so in exchange for watching what is approximately half of a traditional TV ad load, you get all of this content to round out your streaming diet.
Just read an interesting piece in the news about Jason Kilar and his entry into Warner Media and obviously looking at HBO Max. And the reference that I'm citing was a fleeting comment about the ad load being just too high. And he sent the team back and said, try it again, because too many ads were going to turn away viewers. And if we don't have the viewers, then the business model doesn't hold up. Are you finding that there's a, and that of course coming from someone who built Hulu and looked at ad supported and non-ad supported and saw the difference in the same service with people either opting into ads or opting out. Obviously, if people choose to watch Pluto and to explore your ecosystem, they're opting in to accept ads. Is there a balance to the alchemy of creating a user experience that's still viewer friendly, but creates that advertising model that will subsidize the content they want?
There's absolutely a balance. Certainly, the advertising experience needs to be thought of very deeply in terms of how you deliver the right experience to consumers in exchange for their time and attention. As I mentioned, our ad load is approximately half of a traditional TV ad load. And we believe that bringing the TV ad load down is a good thing for viewers, but also providing them with targeted ads that they are likely to enjoy is also a big part of it. And with greater targeting, we can also drive greater CPMs prices for our advertising, because advertisers are able to get in front of the right audiences. So I think balancing the overall revenue per hour that can be achieved through getting greater CPMs, even while bringing down ad load, is an important part of the mix. One thing I will say, though, is that I think consumers are in different modes when they are watching linear or on demand, and those modes dictate their appetite for watching a certain amount of advertising. So when you're in linear watching mode, you're essentially being guided by the editorial of the linear programmer, and you're not in control mode. Whereas when you're watching something on demand, you're very much feeling like you're in control. You're more lean in than lean back. And I think that the ad load that is acceptable to a consumer when they're in control mode, when they're watching on demand, is lower than when in linear mode. And there's just a greater expectation that this is how traditional TV works. Of course, consumers don't want there to be an onerous amount of ads, but I think that they're more willing to accept a greater ad load when the content is delivered linearly than in an on-demand basis. Either way, we strive to provide consumers with a great ad experience that limits the amount of advertising that they have to watch while trying to increase our revenue by providing advertisers with the addressability and targetability that they need in order to achieve their business objectives. And so it is a balance.
It is a balance. And it's interesting because I also believe that the consumer behavior is evolving in this space. And so what consumers are willing to accept today is very different than even a year or two ago. And I think we'll see those changes continue to evolve. And your business is structured in a way where you have the opportunity to be quite agile, to continue to adjust to the consumer preferences and to the brand marketer's best interests. And I think that bodes well for your business model.
Absolutely. No, we can optimize the ad load and the ad experience based on what's working best, both in terms of viewer experience and the amount of viewer time that we get from consumers, while doing the same on the advertiser side. So we can be nimble, and we're constantly testing this to ensure the optimal outcomes across the board.
You mentioned earlier that free ad-supported streaming space is one of the premier business models. Clearly, Viacom agreed with you and recently acquired Pluto TV. So now you're a quasi-independent subsidiary of Viacom CBS.
That's right.
What has that transition been like? Talk to us a little bit about some of the changes and benefits from that Viacom acquisition.
Yeah, so it's really been the best of both worlds. We announced our acquisition by Viacom in January of 19, so it's about a year and a half since the deal was announced, closed a little bit thereafter. And I say the best of both worlds because we are operating, as you say, a quasi-independent division that's really a platform for all content partners, not just Viacom CBS content, although that's a very important part of Pluto TV now. And we've got the nimbleness and speed of, you know, that startup culture that we had from the early days of the company, even though we're now in hyper-growth mode and part of a larger major media company. But we have the resources of a major media company behind us, from content to distribution to ad sales to great channel brands that we've brought from Viacom CBS to Pluto TV to an international footprint that's helping us accelerate around the world. All of those things have been really powerful and helped us accelerate what was already a hyper-growth business even faster. But I'll say the one thing, if I had to pick anything that has been the biggest component of the success that we've had through the acquisition, I think, is just the support from the top. Bob Bakish, the CEO, has been very behind Pluto TV and is completely aligned with our mission of entertaining the planet, our vision of being the global leader in free streaming television, and has done everything in his power to enable us to achieve those.
So everything is speeding up in your world in a good way right now. What's next? What's the growth strategy look like? How do you try to capture the momentum that has been somewhat turbocharged by the pandemic and pay it forward? You know, how do you keep this going?
Yeah, we're working very closely with all of our partners on the content and distribution side just to further Pluto's growth. So adding great content, adding new distribution partners, of which we're on over 30 platforms now, and extending our lead in the US market is a critical focus of the company. We're doing that with all of our partners, but Viacom CBS is the owner of the company, and we're leveraging everything that they can do to help us accelerate that growth and extend our lead here in the US. And we've added dozens of channels from Viacom CBS brands with content you can't get anywhere else. And we are working very closely with the ad sales team there to monetize the platform optimally. But we're also very focused on global expansion. So as I mentioned, we're now available in 22 countries, and many of those countries we just launched in across Latin America a few months ago. And we're really off to gangbusters growth in Latin America, as well as growing rapidly in Europe. So as I mentioned, the vision is to be the global leader in free streaming television. And so in order to do that, we need to capitalize on the early leadership position we have through pioneering this concept in the US and growing quickly in the US and expand it around the world. And that's why, again, having Viacom CBS behind us is so powerful, because of the footprint that they have around the world and the ability they have to help us expand very quickly. So we see this as a truly global opportunity where there's a category of streaming, free ad-supported streaming television, that Pluto TV and Viacom CBS can truly own and be the absolute leader in globally.
As you expand globally, and I completely understand that the continued growth domestically is a business driver and is important, but 22 countries and growing, as you become more global, how do you start to view the content side of the business differently? And what type of content do you start to look for and start to add to appeal to a more global audience?
Well, to be successful in streaming television globally, you need to be really good locally. So we are working with content partners in all of the different markets that we have entered to ensure that we've got great local language content. Some of the content that we have in the US travels to other countries where Pluto's available, but you know, we really have to localize the content offering. And some of that we do through our parent Viacom CBS with their content, but a lot of that content is licensed from third parties. As I mentioned, over 200 content partners work with Pluto TV, and that number continues to grow. And as we grow around the world, working with great local media companies that can provide us with that content to ensure that we've got the best possible free streaming TV service in the respective market is critical.
So I would be remiss if I didn't mention one point in common here. You have your MBA from INSEAD in France.
I do.
And CTAM Europe has a wonderful program that we run in concert with INSEAD, and I've been fortunate enough to go over and attend it. I found it fascinating to sit in a room with students from all over the world talking about the same subject, the same industry, and hearing all of those different perspectives. I would imagine that education has played into your view of how to build a business multidimensionally to appease a global marketplace.
It has. I mean, INSEAD was one of the highlights of my life. Some of my best friends remain classmates from INSEAD. The program really gave a great global perspective on an MBA and really shaped the way that I think all of us who attended INSEAD think in one form or another. And for me particularly, I started my first venture, which was a digital music venture, at INSEAD with a couple of other classmates, and we built it in a new ventures class at INSEAD. And so I credit my start as an entrepreneur as well as my international outlook on building businesses in large part to my time at INSEAD.
That's wonderful to hear. And so just a small shameless plug to our listeners, if you want a mini version of that INSEAD experience, check out the CTAM Europe program there. It's a wonderful executive ed program, and you'll walk away after the week's deep dive with a wonderful network and a great perspective on the business. Tom, it has just been really fun talking with you today. I could go on and on, but I know that we just don't have that much time. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and ideas with us.
I really do appreciate you taking the time. This has been an absolute pleasure, and thanks again for having me.
Hope you found this Thinking Out Loud conversation interesting and perhaps even thought-provoking. There are more on the way. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.